Okay, we're ready to pick up Maseches Erevin, a wonderful Maseches. I think the Lashon they say b'shem the Zohar, that the Lashon is Ani Rochev al Achamor, that Mashiach is going to come when the Ani is Rochev al Achamor. And they say that the Rosh Tevas of Ani is Erevin, Nida, and Yevamos. And when Klai Yisrael learns these three extremely difficult Masechtas, and they learn them B'iyun, they learn about Smart, they learn them really well, then Mashiach will come. So Mirza Shem will bring the Gula closer by learning this Masechta very, very well. I heard from a very big Talmud Chacham on Eretz Yisrael when I was discussing with him different Masechtas, and he was telling me that he thought that the hardest Masechta to give over, the hardest Masechta to understand for him, was Erevin. So Mirza Shem will have a schos Yisrael to Shemaya to learn this Masechta as best we can. If anyone has access to any of these Sfarim, that Noam Sifta put out one with pictures, the different, the Oz V'Hadar has a beautiful separate sefer on pictures of Erevin. It's very kedai just to have it for me, that I know it helps a lot to see a picture of what is being described in the Gemaras, especially this very technical Masechta with a lot of different pictures of Mevos and Mavos and things of that nature, Chatziros and different things. I think it would be very helpful if you have access to that. Now, just to Chazer, we mentioned this earlier, we started Masechta Shabbos because the first nine blotters of Masechta Shabbos discussed this, is that we have the four Rishios. We had Rishus HaYachid, which is an enclosed area that is at least 10 Tfachim high, and it has 4 Tfachim by 4 Tfachim, and that is considered a Rishus HaYachid. That Midah Oreis is considered a private domain. Now, that is Rishus HaYachid. Then we have Rishus HaRabim, which is a public domain. We're going to see the first daf by our Masechta is going to discuss this. Rashi is going to give us some Gedarim about what you have to have 16 Amos and to be open. That is what's considered Rishus HaRabim. That are also Rishus De'oraisa. Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim is carrying Mid'oraisa. Then there's two other Rishus. There's a Carmelis. A Carmelis is an area is not a Rishus HaRabim because it doesn't have the prerequisite conditions, whatever, like the 16 Amos or whatever it might be. Meaning there's different things that are considered a Carmelis that fit into different problems of why they're not a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa. But either way, Chazal were afraid, and Mid'rabbanan were afraid that you're going to, looks like you're carrying in a Rishus HaRabim, so therefore there goes here to carry even in a Carmelis. And then the fourth category is a Makam Tur. That is a place that's not a Rishus HaRabim, Rishus HaYachid. It's something above 10 Tfachim from the ground. That is considered with less than 4 Tfachim. That's going to be considered a Makam Tur. You're allowed to carry from Rishus HaRabim to Makam Tur and from the Rishus HaYachid to Makam Tur. We did mention that there's a Gzeirah Darabanan to directly carry from Rishus HaRabim and then put it through Makom Tor and then take it to Rishus HaYachid. That Midrabanan is us. We saw that in Masechta Shabbos. That's what came up over there. So that is the general four Rishiyosis. Now, when it comes to the first parak, I guess we'll discuss a little bit more about an intro into the first parak. So the first parak really discusses a Mavoy. A Mavoy is literally an alleyway. It's something that, the way, if you have a picture, it's also very helpful over here, is that the way that they used to live their times in the Mishnah is that they had many houses which would open into a common courtyard. That was called a chatzer, and then many courtyards would open into then a bigger area, or an area at the way out, which was this alleyway, which is a mavoy. So that is the mavoy. There's basically two types of mavoys. There's a mavoy sasum and a mavoy mufulash. A mavoy sasum is a closed mavoy, and it's usually closed on three sides and open on the fourth side. And then a mavoy mufulash is an open mavoy. It's an alley which is two opposite sides and open on both ends. So now, this is really considered a Rishus, Rashi seems to indicate Rishus HaYachid, Midda Oreisa. The Rama maybe writes that it's a Makom Turm De Oreisa, but either way, whatever it is Midda Oreisa, there's a Gzeirah Darabanan that you're not allowed to carry in a Mavoy because it looks like you're carrying Rishus HaRabim. People are going to think that it's going to be Mutter to carry within a Rishus HaRabim. So therefore, they're going to see that Shlomo HaMelech was one of Misak in this idea. They're not Shitov Mavoy, Shitov Chatziros. We're going to see exactly what the Gzeirah of what he was Misake, but that Midrash Banan is very early Gzeirah. Shlomo HaMelech was involved with it. That is the Gzeirah, and he also is Misake that there's a way leniencies that would apply that you would not have an issue of carrying, and that is if you have a Lechi or a Kora. Lechi or a Kora come all the time. A Lechi is the side post. It's, you put it on the entrance, and it's so that has to be at least 10 Tfachim high, and it doesn't necessarily, we're going to see that the Mishnah is going to mention that there's no shear for how thick it has to be, how the width has to be. That is a Lechi. A Kora is like the top beam, the cross beam, that's how we'll define it for the rest of the Masechta. It's going to be this cross beam that you place it on the entrance to the Mavoy, and the Kora has to be at least a Tefach wide, and it has to reach from one side of the Mavoy to the other. Okay, so that is that, and you also have a concept of what's called a Tzuras HaPesach. It's going to come up in throughout the Masechta, but really in the first parak as well. Really, I'm going to discuss main things that come up in this first parak, is that Tzuras HaPesach is literally just like a doorway post that looks like a doorway. Something that looks like a doorway. That is also a form of a closure that's similar and have the similar heterim of a lefki nakura to allow you to carry in that area. And then, as we mentioned before, that there's different mavois, and then within a mavoi you have a chatzar. A chatzar is the part that's the courtyard that each of the houses have in common, a common chatzar. And then usually those chatzeros, those courtyards, would then open up into a common mavoi. That is all things that come up in this parak, and those are terms that we should be familiar with. With that, I think we are ready to start the very first Mishnah in Erev. Says the Mishnah now, Mavoi shugavola lamala me'esrim ama yimait. So if you have a mavoi which is above 20 amos, then you have to lower it. So what in the world is going on over here? And let's just continue. Rabbi Yehuda Omer in the Tzarech, Rabbi Yehuda says that you would not need to. So now, what's going on over here? So Rashi says, he gives us the whole background. Rashi says that you have a korah. Again, a korah is, in the discussion over here, is the crossbeam. So you have this crossbeam above the alleyway. And this crossbeam is supposed to remind you again at the heker, the mavli is closed in on three sides, and then it was open on the fourth side. So again, we're afraid. Rashi already tells you that you're afraid that, it's not Rishus Rabim that writes. Rashi gets into that point because, as we already mentioned in the introduction, that the 16 amos is one category, and also the fact that it's mefulish, is open on both sides, is the two categories of Rishus Rabim, the two definitions of Rishus Rabim. And you have none of those when it comes to a mavli. Mavli is not 16 amos wide, and also, it's closed in on three sides. It says, even if you want to assume it is 16 amos wide, it's not going to be closed in on all four sides. Rather, it's closed in on three sides, and only one of them is open. And that one side is open, it's all there a button to carry, because we're going to come to carrying their Shusha Rabbim. That is a Rashi that helps us out over here. So again, really, we're telling you to lower the korah, to lower the crossbeam that's above 20 amos, you have to lower it. That's a Tanakh HaMoed. The Rebbe says you do not need to. The Gemara is going to discuss what they're arguing about. But Tosafot just points out this is a very weird lashon to start it off, the mavoi shu gavoah. You should start off by introducing a korah. You should start off doing the fact that how do you fix the mavoi? This lashon is very problematic because it's missing a lot. You need a Rashi to explain the whole first line of the Mishnah, which is very difficult. Tosafot says really, it's just paralleled after the Mishnah and Sukkah, and that's why it uses that lashon, which should fit in. We're going to see the Gemara's kasha about that, the fact that it's fitting into the lashon of Sukkah. But that's still a little bit difficult how the whole Gemara is leaving out the whole idea is of it's a Hechsher Mavoi and leaving out the whole idea of a Korah without telling you and expecting you to know what it is in the very first Mishnah. But either way, that's what the Mishnah says. V'arach of us Eser Amos. So if you have a Mavoi with the entranceway, which is longer than, which is wider rather than 10 Amos, you have to lower it as well. You have to decrease the width. And you have to make sure that it's not going to be longer, wider than 10 amos. However, the Mishnah continues and says, "V'im yish lo tzuras ha-pesach," if it has a tzuras ha-pesach, as mentioned before, that it has a doorway looking like a doorway at either side of it, and it has the it's going to have a crossbar at the top. Afa bishu rachav me'esher amos, even though it's wider than 10 amos, in tzuras ha-pesach you would not need to decrease it because the tzuras ha-pesach is going to make it a kasher to carry even when it's wider than 10 amos. That is what we see from the Mishnah. Now the Gemara is going to quote right away, immediately quoting the Mishnah in Sukkah and parallel Lashon. It's not us, and we learn in the Mishnah, in the very first Mishnah in Sukkah, Sukkah shigvah l'malam esrim amah. If you have a Sukkah which is above 20 amos from the ground, psula, it's not going to be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir, Rabbi Yehuda says that it is okay. Right now says though, Maishna Sukha Bisukha Dhana Psula. Why is there a different lashon? Here we're saying Shikva Malasham Yamait, meaning that it's not kosher, but you should lower it, but there's of Yamait to make it to lower it. When it comes to the Sukkah, why don't you say the same thing of Yamait? Why is it say lashon Psula that it's completely invalid? Vigabe Mavitsa and Atakanta, right away when the Tana tells you how that it's puzzle, really, he doesn't even say lashon puzzle, just says you might, you make it lower. So why is the chiluk in the lashon between the two Mishnayos? So the Gemara says, and again with Tosas's point, then it makes it a stronger, even a stronger kasha, that Akadikach this Mishnah isn't phrased in the clearest way in order to parallel the phrases after the Lashon in Sukkah. Again, they used to memorize everything. That's why they had parallel Lashonos between Sukkah and Erevin, because again, also Sukkah is all about Mechitzas as well, just how they're used in terms of a Sukkah. Here we're talking about Mechitzas and how you can carry within a Rosh Hashayachid on Shabbos. Sukkah Dereisa. So we're answering now. The reason that when it comes to Sukkah is Dereisa. Tanei Psula. So we use the Lashon that it's Puzzle because this is a Din Dereisa, and therefore we use that Lashon. However, Mavoi is only Derabban. We're going to see that's a kind of who is misaking it, but clearly everyone agrees that it's only Derabban and it's not a Din Dereisa, and so therefore we're going to assume that we Tane Takanta, we use the Lashon of immediately how to fix it. That we, the wording of the Mishnah is telling you that it's a Lashon Derabbanan only because immediately to how to fix it, as opposed to make the Chiluk, they'll realize that Sukkah is Dereisa. V'yibay Seima, another explanation. Dereisa name Tane Takanta. No, you could also, you should have Lashon for Dereisa as well, how to fix it. You should have said you might for Sukkah as well, so why can't you? El Sukkah, the Nefishin Mile, there's many halachas mentioned in that very Mishnah in Sukkah, as Rashi points out. There it says that you need three walls and it needs to be, and it's once again, something that's not high as a ten tefachim. V'shechamasa merum metzila. There's more sun than shade because there's not enough schach. Those are all psulim. So you can't just say yemait because that's not an answer that's going to answer all three of those psulim. So it wouldn't fit stylistically with that mishnah specifically. Really, it should have mentioned it had it only been one halacha of the fact that a sukkah that's above 20 amos. It should have used the lashon of yemait to lower it, but you can't because there are other halachas that the word of yemait would not help you with. So the mar says sukkah nefishim milei pasuk v'tane psula. Therefore, the Tana uses the lashon of that it's possible because the usually yemait, as we mentioned, wouldn't help you. Mavoi delona nefishim milei. However, when it comes to a mavoi where it doesn't have many halachas discussed, only the halacha of how tall it is in this mishnah, tane takantas tana is immediately going to tell you how to fix it. That you should lower this, lower the korah over here, and then we wouldn't have a problem. Now the gemara continues. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Chachamim lamdu ma'elam pischo shalicha. So now there's a machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim in the mishnah. So we're going to come to analyze why each one held what they did. So the Tana Kama, who is what we're calling the Chachamim over here, they learned it out from the Pesach of the Heichal. The Ulam was the first point of the this is all in the Beis HaMikdash, right? First, in the Beis HaMikdash, you would have the Ulam, and then afterwards, you would have the Heichal, right? This is the Ulam is where you have the Mizbeach, Hachitza, Pnimi, and the Golden Altar, where that's where you brought the Ketores, and that's where you have the Menorah, and all those things. The Heichal is where we're going to have the Kodesh Kedashim, and the Parochas for the Kodesh Kedashim. It was more the inner chamber of the Beis HaMikdash. So they learned it out, the Chachamim, the Menitana Kama, is going to learn out from the Pesach of the Heichal, of the inner chamber, of the inner one over there. Rabbi Yehuda lomda alam b'pischa shel ulam, as opposed to Rabbi Yehuda, as we mentioned before, that's the first one. The ulam is the first entrance to that area of the Beis Hamikdash. Tisnan, as we learn in the Mishnah in Midos, pischa shel heichal, the entrance to the heichal gavoa esrim ama v'rochbo esr amos. So that was 20 amos high and 10 amos wide. V'shel ulam and the however the ulam, which was the first entrance that you had into where the mizbeach was, etc., and the menorah and all those other things, gavoa arba'im ama v'rochbo esrim amos. So it was 40 amos high and 20 amos wide. So seemingly that's where Rabbi Yehuda is learning his din from. That's what the Gemara wants to suggest. And the Gemara continues, Ushnein Mikra Echad Darshu, that both of them are learning it out from the same. They learn it out from the same pasuk to see how they get to their lashono. So the Gemara says, what is that? The pasuk says, "Vishachtu Pesach Oel Moed." The lashon is that we learn from the pasuk that it says it's the lashon of Oel Moed is the Mishkan is called a Pesach. It has the lashon of an opening, and so that's what it means to be an opening. What is called a Pesach over here? The Rabbanan Savrei Kedushas Heichal Lachud Kedushas Ulam Lachud. So the Rabbanan are going to learn out that there's fundamentally two different kedushas between the ulam and the heichal. That they're not the same kedusha, and so really the ulam is going to have less of a kedusha than the heichal. So all the avodas that were done in the heichal are not going to be kosher if you do them in the ulam. That's what we see over here. And so really only the heichal it has the kedusha of that of the midbar. V'chiksiv pesach almoed aheichal ksiv. So the fact that it has lashon of pesach almoed to where it is going to be brought, that is connected to ol moed in the midbar, and that is a reference to the pesach aheichal, which was esrim ama. So we see that we have only the lashon of a Pesach, which is lashon of Esrim Amma. That's called a Pesach. That's called the entranceway. That's what's called it. And then we see that should be the highest point that you have. Rabbi Yehuda Savar Heichal V'Ulam Kedusha Achasi. Rabbi Yehuda says that the Heichal Ulam is one kedusha, and all the avodas that you did in the Ulam is going to be kosher for the Heichal, and vice versa. V'chiksev Pesach Almoed Atabayu Dichsev. And the lashon when it says the lashon of Pesach Almoed is both going on the Heichal and the Ulam, and therefore we see that there's shave in the type of kiddush that they have, and therefore that you can have, we can learn out the lashon of what a Pesach Omoed is going to be from the ulam as well, and the ulam was up to 40 amos. So the Gemara is going to discuss how high do you have for Rabbi Yehuda. V'ibayis ema, so you can give another answer. The Rabbi Nami kedushas ulam lachud kedushas heichal. Maybe you could agree that they're really two distinct kedushas, and as we mentioned in Afkamina about which karbanos to be brought, it would not be kosher for the ulam that served b'mar in the heichal. V'halcha hainu time at Rabbi Yehuda. So then, why would Rabbi Yehuda say in regards to a mavoi that a korah higher than 20 amos can be kosher? Because it says dechsev al pesach ulam habayis. The pasuk says that specifically over here, the opening to the Ulam habayis, to the ulam of the house, literally, meaning of the Beis HaMikdash, that was 40 amos high. So we see over here that with the lashon of the Pesach, the calling of Pesach is referring to ulam. So we see that he has clearly this a validation to assume that a ulam can be called a Pesach. So the Rabbanan, what are they going to do with that drasha? Rabbanan, ihaviksev el Pesach ulam, it had the lashon bin el Pesach ulam, to the entranceway to the ulam, then I would have agreed with you, Rabbi Yehuda. However, kitagamet, however, hashtag el Pesach ulam habayis, referring to the entranceway into the ulam of the house, habayis hapasuach ulam. This is a reference to the house that's open to the ulam, and that is referring to the heichal. That's not referring to the ulam at all. And therefore, we have no makor to assume that you're going to have a pesach reference to the ulam. So the gemara says v'haksiv hai b'mishkan siv. Now the gemara just takes a step back. But both according to Rabbi Yehuda and according to the chachamim, they're learning it out from the mishkan. Well, how can you learn out from the mishkan to the base of mikdash? The gemara says. So the whole pasuk is referenced for the mishkan and the Mishnah itself, and the Mishkan itself was only 10 amos high. So the Gemara says, no, we're really not going for the base of Mikdash, and we see that Eshkechan Mishkan to Ikri Mikdash and Mikdash to Ikri Mishkan, that in the Psukim itself, they're referenced to the fact that the base of Mikdash is going to be referenced to when we use Lashon of Mishkan, and vice versa as well. We refer to the Mishkan as base of Mikdash. Because if you don't say this word that we just said, that the Lashon of Mishkan and Mikdash are interchangeable, says the Gemara, Shmuel learned out of Halacha, that if you bring out any shlamim before they opened up the doors of the heichal in the base of Mikdash, it's going to passel the korban. Shenemar v'shachtu ushachto pesach oel moed. You shall offer it, you should slaughter it in the entranceway to the oel moed. It has to be open. It's specifically only when they're open. And if love is manch ulim, not when they're closed. But according to what we're saying right now, how could Shmuel learn this halacha from the base of Mikdash, from the halacha of the Mishkan? The Mishkan, if this pasuk was written to the Mishkan, not to the base of Mikdash. Ella, what do we see? Eshkan Mikdash to Ikri Mishkan. So then we see the Mishkan to Mikdash. It must be that the two lashonos are interchangeable. So the Gemara says, great. So we saw that was a lacha based on Shmuel, but where do we see this in the Psukim? So the Gemara says, now right away, Bishlam and Mikdash to Ikri Mishkan. So I get that it's written by the base of Mikdash that it's called a Mishkan. Where do we see that? Echsiv and Nasati. Mishkani v'sochachem. Just take out the word S. I'm going to put my Mishkan in your midst. I'm going to put it in your midst. So this is a reference not to a Mishkan that was not built yet. This was when the Mishkan was already built, as Rashi points out. This is talking about after the Hakamas of Mishkan, after the Mishkan had already been built. It was already taught in Sefer Vayikra, and after Sefer Vayikra, the Mishkan had already been erected, as we know. So clearly this is a reference to the base of Mikdash. It must be referring to the Mikdash. So that's what we see, that the Mikdash is called Mishkan. El Mishkan during Mikdash. How do I know that the Mishkan itself is called a Mikdash? So you want to suggest, and we're first is going to suggest one pasuk in Baalosha and reject it. Right, this is the lashon in Baalosha when they're discussing the description of Klai Yisrael traveling in the Midbar. So it says the people of Kahat, they would travel, and they were the carrying the Mikdash, and then after the Levim would go after, before they got there, and set up the Mishkan. So this Mikdash over here is a reference to the Mishkan. So the Gemara says, no, you can't use this pasuk. Why not? Turn it to the next time, because Hahu Be'aron Ksiv, because this Lashon of Mikdash is specifically in reference to the Aron itself, to the actual Aron itself having the Luchos, but not to the actual Mishkan itself. So rather, so we can't use that pasuk. Elam Alchav Asul Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Sulchem, the pretty famous pasuk, and they're going to make for me a Mikdash, and I'm going to be in their midst. This is telling you the lashon of the fact that not just the Mishkan, but rather it's called the Mikdash in reference to the fact that it's called the Mikdash is reference really to the Mishkan. Hashem is saying that the Mishkan, I'm going to dwell in the Mishkan. So clearly, a Mishkan can be called a Mikdash. Now the Gemara asks a new question. The Gemara says, "Bein the Rabbanan, bein the Rehuda, lil fil mi Pesach shear achatzer." But both according to the Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda, who learned it out from the Pesach al Moed, why don't they learn it out from the pasuk in Bamidbar, which discusses the entranceway to the chatzer, which was wider than 10 amos? The Gemara is going to show us, and also we should learn that a korah that has wider 10 amos, we want to learn from here, should be kasher. So the Gemara says, Dechsiv, and now the Gemara is quoting the source for that. How do we know that it was wider than 10 amos? The Gemara says, Orech ha-chatzer mea ve'amar v'roch ha-bashim v'kum ha-chamesh amos. That is, the length of the courtyard is going to be 100 amos, and the width is going to be 50 amos by height of 5 amos. So this is talking about the northern and the southern walls of the chatzer, of the Mishkan, was a hundred amos each, and the western eastern wall was going to be 50 amos each. And the entrance, though, was in the eastern wall. The Torah doesn't tell you exactly how wide it was. The Gemara wants to learn out. The Pesiv, and it says, referring to the eastern wall, it says, and there's going to be 50 amos curtains for one literally shoulder that was on the side of the courtyard in the opening. And it also says that we learn also that the second shoulder on either side of the courtyard is going to be 15 amos. So we see the Torah telling us that that 50 amos side of the chatzer of the Mishkan is going to have curtains that are 15 amos wide. So that leaves us with with 20 amos for the opening, and therefore we should learn out the 20 amos opening. Malahalan chamesh beruchav esrim. So there's going to be opening of amos and a width of 20 amos. That is called a pesach. That's what we see of kan chamesh beruchav esrim. So too, we should say that the korah over an opening which is 5 amos high by the width of 20 amos should be kosher. But why does the Mishnah tell you that a korah wider than 10 amos is going to be pasul? So the Gemara now says, Pesach Shara Chatzar Ikri. So we learn it out from Pesach Shara Chatzar, Pesach Samalo Ikri. It's only called the entrance of the gateway of the Chatzar, Dafka of the courtyard of the Mishkan, and not Pesach Stam. It's not called Stam, an open entranceway. So we see we can't learn out the fact that it's called an entranceway as a Pesach. That's what the Gemara wants to say. So the Gemara gives another tarot. The Gemara suggests that Yibayis Ima give a different tarot. Kiksiv Kaloyim Chamesh Esrei Amalekosef Begvoa Udiksiv. In reference to the Pasuk which says that the curtains have to be 15 amos for the shoulder, literally, that was reference to the height of the curtains, to teach us they are 15 amos high. So if that's the case, though, we would see then that the Torah has nothing to do with how wide those sides are. And therefore, we have no way of learning out what exactly was the width of the Mishkan. So therefore, we can't learn out that it was necessarily wider or less wide than 10 amos. So you wouldn't have a raya against the psak of the Mishnah. The Gemara asks, so the Gemara says, Govo, can I really refer to the height of the Mishkan? But the pasuk says explicitly, the height of the wall of the chatzar of the Mishkan is 5 amos. So if that's the case, the measurement of 15 amos must refer to the width of the sides, as we mentioned before. So the Gemara suggests, no, this measurement of the 5 amos is referring to the edge of the Mizbeach, and above that edge is teaching us that that went 5 amos from the height of the Mizbeach, which was 10 amos tall. So it's telling you that that went, the side went to the half of that. So that's what's mentioned over there. So therefore, we are mentioning the Mizbeach and not referencing Dafka. We're not mentioning Dafka, the width of the Mishkan. So the Gemara goes back to Rav. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda Pischa Shulum Gamar. Is it really possible that Rabbi Yehuda learns it out from the entranceway to the Ulam, to the big area where the Mizbeach was, the Mizbeach Pnimi and the menorah, to that entranceway? Is that really true? Vatnan. But don't we learn in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, Varocha Me'esra Amos Yimayit, that if it was wider than Tanamos, you should decrease it. Vulo Palag Rabbi Yehuda doesn't disagree with that, but if he learns it out, the Gemara is going to ask, no. So if he learns it out from the fact that it was what? It was from the Ulam, he should say that if it's wider than 10 amos, it should be fine because it was 20 amos wide, so she'd allow it up to 20 amos. So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Palag Braisa, no. In fact, yeah, Rabbi Yehuda actually does disagree in the Braisa. The Braisa tells us, what is Braisa? The Sanhedrin, we learn in the Braisa, Ve'arachav Me'esra Amos, you might, if the Mavoi is wider than 10 amos, you should decrease the width. Rabbi Yehuda, Omer, Eino Tzarech Lema. Rabbi Yehuda says he doesn't have to decrease the width, and everything is fine. So we see that Rabbi Yehuda really does disagree, and he gives you up to 20 amos, as mentioned in the Braisa. The Gemara now just asks, why don't we see his Shita disagreeing with the width also in the Mishnah? V'lithlag b'masnisa, why doesn't he disagree with the Mishnah as well? So Gemara says, we already know, Palik Bagova Vodil Rechab, but that he really disagrees with regards to right. So he's going to say, what then? Obviously, it's going to apply by the width. And why doesn't it mention in the Mishnah, it mentions in the Braisa? Because usually Mishnayos are more concise. Mishnayos are usually written as concise as possible. So I'll learn it out. The braces are mentioned more explicitly. So the braces will tell you, a lot of times we'll quote braces, we'll expound upon what the Mishnah said. They'll say stories, they'll say a lot of other things that the Mishnah didn't include because the Mishnah was as concise as possible. So the Gemara continues, Gemara says, but still though, we have a problem with Rabbi Yehuda learning it out from the Pesach of the Ulam, for the first entranceway of the Beis HaMikdash over there, where the Mishkan was, where the menorah was, Vakasa Rabbi Yehuda Mephisco Shalom Gemara. Is it really possible that he learned it out from there, that first entranceway about Tanya? Doesn't the Braisa tell you Mavoi Shugavoa Me'etrim Ama Yimait, that a Mavoi is higher than 20 amos, you have to decrease it? That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Yehuda Machshir at Arba'im V'Chamishim Ama. Here, but we see Rabbi Yehuda saying that it has either 40 or 50 amos, and not only that, but Tanya Barakabai says 100 amos high. So the Gemara says, so now, according to Mishnah, Barakabai was clearly exaggerating. He's saying 100 amos high. He was just thinking like the highest building ever. How many people, they weren't able to build more than, you know, 100 amos is whatever, it's going to be like 300 feet, 250 feet in the air. So because that was clearly an exaggeration. It's just telling you it can be very high. However, I love either the Rabbi Yehuda or the Rabbi Yehuda, that gives, depending on what it is, according to Rabbi Yehuda that says, my Guzma, according to Rabbi Yehuda is saying 50, that's not a Guzma, he's just extending it from 40 to 50, it's not an exaggeration. He's clearly telling you that you have up to 50 amos high. And according to Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda, Arboim, Gomar, Pisla, Shulam, according to Rabbi Yehuda, I get it because he says 40 came from the actual, that was how high it was. The Ulam itself was 40 amos high, so I understand how it could be up to 40 amos high. However, Al Chamishim Minali, but according to him, where does he get the source for Chamishim for 50 amos high? So the Gemara says, Amrav Chista, Mastisa, chazi l'rav. So that this brisa misled Rav to assume that Rabbi Yehuda was learning it out from the ulam. The sign of the brisa says mavoi shugavoi mesim amid yosim biskol shaleichal yemayit. The lashon of the brisa is that if you have a mavoi, which again, which was the korah, which was really a misnomer to use lashon mavoi, the korah on top of the mavoi is higher than 20 amos, you should lower it umayit. So the Gemara says, "Whosoever Rav learned that the reason is that the lashon of the Rabbanan was that they learned it out from the Heichal. Rabbi Yehuda mitzchoshal ulam gamar, and Rabbi Yehuda was learning it out from the more inner, from the outside entranceway, the first entranceway versus the second one, the one that was closer to the Kodesh Kedashim, or the first one where the menorah was. Veloi, that's not really the Yisroel Machlokas. Rav was wrong. Rav Chista is saying Rabbi Yehuda mitzchoshal demalchin gamar. Rabbi Yehuda was actually learning it out from palaces, general palaces of kings, which were extremely high, and he just learned out from there. For you learn out that that would be 50. That's what we learn out. So the Gemara now says, "V'rabbanan." So the Rabbanan, but if the Rabbanan learned it out from the Heichal, libayt blasos keichal, why don't they require a door to be called a Pesach, like we see that that actual Heichal had? Alamatznan. Why does our Mishnah tell us hechsher mavoi? How is a person going to adjust a mavoi? How is it going to be permitted to carry inside the mavoi? Beishamay omrim lechi bekora, beisilomrim lechi okora. We're going to see this later. Beishamay say that you need a lechi and a kora. You need both to as enough of a hecker to be able to carry in a mavoi, as opposed to Beis Hillel, who say that either lechi or kora would be enough. So why is that the case though? Neither of them actually require doors. So why both Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even Beis Shammai's Masmer, doesn't require a door? So the Gemara says, no, because fundamentally, that the doors of the Heichal, which were there, they were there not for actual purpose of the actual door of opening and closing, using as an entrance. Rather, it was there for tznias, for privacy, that the it should be closed up. It shouldn't be open. That's actually halacha b'aisa, but maybe it was patterned after that. But we learned that the aron shouldn't be seen. You're not supposed to have a clear aron. The Torah for tznias is supposed to be closed up, and that's why it's not supposed to be glass. It's supposed to be covered as much as possible. So this also existed in Beis Hamikdash, the tznias over here, that they dafka for privacy reasons, but not for anything to do with the fact that that's halachically needed to be called an entranceway. So Gemara says that if that's really the case, Elamata, Gemara asks us still though, lo tehavi le tzuras ha-pesach, so then why should it help at all if you have a tzuras ha-pesach, if you have this opening in the shape of a doorpost? So Gemara says, Daha Heichal Tzuras HaPesach Avilo, because the Heichal had a Tzuras HaPesach. Avilo Echa Amesar Vesur Derviach, but still it was only 10 amos wide. So what are we seeing now? Again, we're asking over here that at the end of the day, we're assuming that the entranceway should have been made as large as the entranceway to the Ulam, which was 40 by 20 amos wide. So why should it be Heichal? Why should we go after the Heichal size? Alam HaTzeran, but why are we learning the Mishnah? The Mishnah says, in Yeshua Tzuras HaPesach, Ape Shrechal Me'esar Amos, even if the entranceway is wider than 10 amos, in a Tzarech Limay. So, because it has a Tzuras HaPesach, we see that even if the width is greater than 10 amos, it's going to be okay. So the Gemara answers, that this whole reasoning, this question only applies to Rav, because according to Rav, he learned that they each learned it out from the Ulam, the Rabbi Yehuda learned it out from the Ulam, and the Chachamim and the Tanakhama learned it out from the Heichal. So according to him, you really have the Kasha. And the Gemara now says, Hamastele Rav Lechia Bar Rav, Kamele Rav, they said it in front of Rav, this Mishnah, Ve'ina Tzarech Lamayit, you don't need to decrease the entranceway, which was wider than Amos, if you have the Tzuras HaPesach. Ve'amar Le'ai, Atana Tzarech Lamayit. No, Rav said that you have the wrong Girsa. He just said you should lose the Lashon, as you should decrease the width, even if there is a Tzuras HaPesach. So you see, in fact, the Mishnah is amended according to Rav, because you're right, the Mavoi's entranceway is learned out from the fact that you need the Heichal doesn't really have a Tzuras HaPesach for the reasons of calling a halachic entranceway, so Rav really will say that you need to be Mamai this year, because we in fact really are learning it out exactly from the Heichal. Okay, pick up, Mirza, El Ma'ata is a little bit of a long kasha, so we'll pick up El Ma'ata tomorrow, Mirza Hashem.